Welcome back to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. My name's Dave. Our guest today is Dr. Kate Rionbleu, a naturopathic doctor and the author of the book, Vitamin K2 and the Calcium Paradox. And before the break, we were talking about vitamin K2 being an essential nutrient and how it can affect a lot of the other ailments in our bodies, and especially its deficiency. And doctor, there's a theory called the triage theory of aging. Can you explain what that is?
Yes, this is important for people to understand because it really helps you think differently about your nutrition, I think. So the triage theory is the idea that your body will take the nutrients that you have in your diet and will prioritize that towards the most critical or important functions, even if that means shortchanging you on other less imminent health concerns. So for example, if in the case of vitamin K2, if you only have a very small amount of vitamin K2, you may have enough to get by day to day, but over the long term, you're shortchanging your bones and they're gradually losing density, or you may be shortchanging your arteries and they're gradually building up plaque. This can happen because those things won't cause problems like a hip fracture or a heart attack, possibly for decades. So they're these, you know, silent killer kind of diseases, the long, slow, insidious process, because you don't have enough of this nutrient to optimize your intake on a daily basis.
So it's prioritizing by urgency within the body.
Exactly. So if a condition like osteoporosis, well, it's not urgent because you can still get around for 10, 20, 30 years with very weak bones until it becomes a problem, and the body will then use that vitamin K2 for other things.
So the body's wanting to survive the moment, survive the short term, thinking that maybe perhaps we'll get back to a good diet later.
Exactly.
Wow. So it takes years to show up. And some of the things you mentioned before the break were varicose veins. Now, how does K2 help varicose veins?
So calcium can build up in the walls of the veins in a similar way as it does in the arteries. And when that happens, the walls of the veins are not as flexible. They can become stiff and rigid. Sometimes they can become very bulgy and twisted and pronounced. And then the blood, they're not working as well as they should, so the blood is slower to move up back to the heart. That can lead to sensations of, for example, aching legs and the symptoms that we associate with varicose veins. So because vitamin K2 helps remove the calcium from those walls, it can help with the function of the veins, which can alleviate some of the symptoms as well as the appearance of the veins.
And varicose veins can be associated with clotting.
They can be associated with clotting. They can be associated with poor circulation in general, as well as hemorrhoids. Those conditions are linked.
50% of women, 40% of men.
It's very, very common, and it's not just a cosmetic concern. That's right. The motivation for most people, because they can be unsightly. But you have to remember, it reflects what's happening with the veins, at least, if not the arteries, elsewhere in the body.
So it's an outward appearance of an inward problem.
Exactly.
Diabetes.
This is very interesting information. Yeah, very interesting. So vitamin K2 is a protein known for its benefits on bone, and yet it turns out that our bones have a big role to play in our sensitivity to insulin or, you know, otherwise our risk of diabetes. We know that diabetics have a much higher risk of osteoporosis, and it turns out that those conditions may be linked. And the same protein that vitamin K2 will activate to strengthen our bones also helps us respond better to insulin. And that has really a huge potential impact, because we know that type 2 diabetes is so common.
Well, you mentioned it in your book, and researchers have been finding that the skeleton overall is not just an inert scaffolding. And that, to quote what you said in your book, that it's actually a living tissue.
Absolutely. There's a lot of protein in bone. You can't think of it just as rocks.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting how the cells that are within the skeleton within the bone. I mean, we talk about marrow, we understand that that's living, but it goes far more than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, in fact, the bone is technically endocrine tissue, which means it acts like a gland that secretes, in this case, a protein that will help your body use insulin better.
Yeah.
And that is it's really kind of mind-blowing.
So when we're using insulin correctly, we have less chance of heart disease and osteoporosis.
That's right. That's the foundation of health in terms of lowering, helping with cholesterol and particularly triglyceride levels, reducing inflammation, helping with weight, abdominal weight in particular.
Now, when you were with us back late summer, we talked about cognitive health, but we're finding too that K2 is also associated with the brain and neurological.
Yes, in ways that we understand as well as ones that we have yet to understand. You know, there are so many interesting connections with vitamin K2 here. We absolutely know that vitamin K2 will help prevent the damage and minimize, mitigate the damage that's associated with a lack of blood flow. So, for example, a stroke or even a TIA, transient ischemic attack, is a lack of blood flow to a certain area of the brain that can cause a lot of damage.
Is that a mini stroke?
A TIA is a mini stroke, exactly.
Okay.
And that can cause a lot of damage. But vitamin K2 has been shown to prevent the damage associated with that lack of blood flow. So nobody's expecting to have a stroke or a TIA, but it happens. And as a matter of fact, research suggests that ultra micro mini strokes that don't cause any symptoms are probably far more common than we realize. And this really can deteriorate the quality of our brain tissue over time. So vitamin K2 plays a huge potential role in helping to minimize this damage, as well as its more familiar role in making sure calcium isn't building up inappropriately in tissues. And we see a connection with calcium in the wrong places in the brain with a number of conditions.
Now, we know that K2 has four basic storage areas within the body, and one of them is the brain.
That's right. K2 exists in quite high amounts in the brain, and so that usually suggests that it's there for a reason, and it's important to have it there. And we don't 100% understand why, but we do know that's important.
Out of the four major storage areas, the salivary glands in our mouth are one of the other priority locations.
Yes, so when our K2 intake is adequate, then it will tend to accumulate in the saliva, in the salivary glands, and then the saliva will essentially squirt K2 onto your teeth to keep them clean. And this is one area where people will actually notice a difference. You know, they say, oh, since I've been taking vitamin K2, my teeth are cleaner, or my dental hygienist has said, oh, you're flossing more, something like that. And it really does seem to play a role in oral health and gum health.
And even the prevention of decay.
Yes, very interesting historical research on that.
I found that interesting, yeah. So like it took me back to, health class where you talked about the pulp, the root, the dentin, the enamel. And what can you describe for the listener what's going on there with K2?
Well, the teeth have actually an ability to regenerate themselves. There are parts of the teeth that can make new tooth material. This is the dentin, and they are stimulated to do that by vitamin K2, for example. So the teeth do have an amazing healing ability that we don't tend to think of or we may have overlooked, and that's made possible by providing the right nutrients to the teeth to allow them to heal.
K2 is also very significant in the fetus and prenatal.
Yes. If anybody is considering planning a family, starting a family, even before, so for example, K2 has been shown to increase testosterone levels, which helps boost sperm count, so fertility is a concern, that's important to know. But then right from conception, when the baby's developing the skeleton, the facial bones, the teeth themselves, K2 plays a very important role in this, and when K2 is lacking, you can end up with problems that are actually relatively common with the skeleton and the face, the facial bones, and the teeth. But the good news is that if kids' K2 intake is adequate throughout their childhood, you can compensate and overcome for a lot of these problems to help with the facial development.
psoriasis?
This is so interesting to me. You know, I've had feedback from many people over the past year that have said that vitamin K2 has helped them with psoriasis, including extreme cases of individuals, you know, suffering with psoriasis for decades, and now they've been completely, just about completely free of the skin condition for over a year. And this was astonishing to me because there weren't any studies about it, so I didn't write about it in my book. But we have to remember that vitamin K2 is a couple of decades behind vitamin D, and so it's definitely one that is worth trying for psoriasis, and I'd like to see more research on it.
Who should be taking K2 supplements?
Well, as you know, as we were talking about in terms of deficiency being widespread, the supplement itself being non-toxic and it having so much benefit to play for different aspects of the health, I would say everybody should be. If you can't find ways to increase it in your diet, which can be a challenge for some people, but certainly if you are taking calcium supplements, if you're taking vitamin D, if you're concerned around bone health or heart health, then K2 is a must here.
Doctor, we've got about a minute left. What should people look for in a supplement? Now, all supplements are not created equal, but what should we be looking for in K2?
This can get complicated, but long story short,
yep.
If you're shopping in Canada, you should look somewhere on the label, even in the fine print, it'll say MK7, menaquinone 7. That just refers to the form of vitamin K2 that you can take once a day. It's more convenient than other forms that you have to take multiple times per day. That's a big one that I tell people to look for.
Very good. Any final thoughts, Doctor?
K2 can be the missing piece to the puzzle of health for many people and with a wide variety of different health concerns.
Absolutely. I know just reading that book and just the teeth can regenerate, the skeleton is an endocrine system in itself, and just so easy for so many years have just been overlooked.
Yep, that's right.
Well, again, thank you for coming on our show. I really appreciate your insights, and the book's available at the store. People can come in, pick up a copy, or they can order online. You can get the book through Kohl's, I'm presuming.
All the online booksellers also have it.
Yes. Yeah, very good. Well, thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome, Dave.
And as always, all the supplements that we mentioned today can be found at The Healthy Habit, 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. You can visit our website, thehealthyhabitchatham.com, for all our in-store information and our What's New page for helpful insights. Also our radio page, so you can re-listen to this presentation. Part one took place last month. Both shows are there. And again, that's thehealthyhabitchatham.com. So take advantage of our everyday low prices. We're celebrating our 24th year in business, where we can help you to help yourself. Live healthy, live wise, live strong, one step at a time.